You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you are going to have, hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it, because if it wasn't, then I know it had to get done. You got it done, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. Excuse me. And that's why we have such admiration, love, and respect for you, because you always get it done and doing it safely. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good friend and brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Excuse me. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. On Monday evenings from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban from 8 to 9 on Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Oh, also, too, whatever search engine you use, you know, Google, whatever, just put in babaoshi.net and you'll also be able to get those programs. It's a little shortcut. Babaoshi, BABAOSHI.net. Babaoshi.net, and you get those shortcuts. So, the number to call is 215-490-9832. Other, We Buy Black. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, products that are produced by us. Check out WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Brothers and sisters, he's ready to go. In a few weeks, May 24th, a month from now, May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana, $3,800. You still can make it. November 17th through the 28th, going to Tanzania at $3,800 still. Wow. And then Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2023. That's $4,000. March 31st to April 10th, Senegal and Gambia. This was the initial trip that was postponed to this time, and it is still $3,800. May 24th to June 5th, 2023, Ghana, $4,000. And then July 20th to July 30th, 2023, Liberia, going to Liberia, $3,800. And then December 24th, 2023 to January 4th, 2024, going to South Africa. Going to South Africa. And of course, go to the website africaforthe.org so you can Check out the website. Everything you need to make this a trip of a lifetime is there for you. All the documentation, all the requirements, everything. And of course, there's areas you can look at to buy land in Ghana, Africa, invest the Black Star Repatriation Program and the Pan-African community that is being developed in Ghana. So it's all there. Give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bamani2007. That is AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashah. HabashahIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, Habashah is a great program. The programs that they have going on here in Atlanta, Habashah Works, Cultural Sustainable Agriculture, Black Trout Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. Habashah, also two brothers and sisters, the Kashi Project is going to be officially launched. The buildings are up. Oh, man, it's going to be beautiful. In Ghana, West Africa. October 8th through the 17th, the Kashi Project. All right. Habashah Incorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They deal in the four areas of human existence and human activity, and food, water, clothing, and shelter. The LEDGE Group, brothers and sisters. Check it out. Go online to the LEDGE Group. And, of course, if you are a member, they have 12 projects going on in the continent, 12 projects in six countries, over 170 employed, and over 260 as members. Become a member. In fact, if you are a member, you can buy land in Tanzania at $250 an acre. That's right, $250 an acre. You can have land in Tanzania, and you know how beautiful Tanzania is, man. So, LEDGE Group, land. For the environmental development for group economics. Abibiatumi, ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBITUMI.com, and the Kemetic Communiversity. Abibiatumi is dedicated to the complete and total liberation for African people. I love Abibiatumi. ABIBITUMI.com, the SMAI Pharmacy, SMAI. FARMACY. SMI Pharmacy, brothers and sisters. Go to SMI Pharmacy's website at smipharmacy.com. Check it out. Or give Brother Jabril a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. SMI Pharmacy. And you can send him an email. Send an email at smipharmacy@gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. SMI Pharmacy. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph Debert Abernathy Boulevard. Serving delicious smoothies, fruit drinks, pastries. All kinds of help. And on weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, vegan food is offered. That's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located right across the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, up the street from the, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, there in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. I was at the Medu Bookstore yesterday, my good sister. Was doing a little discussion. Mama Bayina Bello of Haiti, talking about her book, She Rose. She's been on the program a few times. Love her, admire her, and what strength she has. I never forget when I first saw her on YouTube. You know, she had a big fro then, and of course, as years gone by, it got grayer and grayer, but you could not mistake the fire that she had. And the passion that she had for Africa and African people, and of course for her people of the of Haiti, you know. So it was great to see her, and I'll
contact her soon. Hopefully maybe get her on the program again. I know she does a talk on a Zoom on Thursdays. On Thursday, she's going to be doing that again based upon what was discussed yesterday. So that's fantastic. At the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. In fact, I hope to do a program there soon, trying to get it together. But give her a call. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, figurines, T-shirts, you name it. She's got it. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Brother Kazemdi Ajamu, give him a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. And the new Black Wall Street Market, located in Stonecrest, that's further east than Lithonia, where the Black Dot is located. It's the next exit up, next exit east, Turner Hill Road. Exit, take that exit, make a right, go down three lights, make another right, and bam, there it is. It was a Target's, but it's now the new Black Wall Street Market on the left. And one of the shops they have is Afroletics. My good brother who has a African-centered athletic wear with the Zulus, the Omex, the Dogon Starseed, you know, the Head Rouge. Yeah. Afroletics. Also to my good brother, Sajifo, who's been a jeweler to the stars. Man, his brother's jewelry is outstanding. If anybody knows Brother Saj, he is outstanding. Timbuktu. And he also has an art gallery in the mall, selling beautiful artwork, African artwork. So check out the new Black Wall Street Market located in Stonecrest. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us, every Thursday night from 9 to 10. If you want to call to listen or have you or if you have a question, comment, or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. The Homeland Village and Cultural Center and gift shop and furniture store, you name it, man. Brother Abijah got it going on in that spot he has in Macon, Georgia at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. He's open Tuesdays from Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. That's Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Africa Unite. Ashe. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Brothers and sisters, give my sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located in the International Discount Mall, Booth 25. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia has been doing an outstanding job in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti. And, of course, it was the island itself, that eastern part of the island. Of course, the island is shared by the Dominican Republic. Boo. But that eastern part, the western part of the island, rather, was devastated by an earthquake over 10 years ago. And, of course, they have no safety nets. So whatever has to happen in that northeastern portion of the island relies on us as brothers and sisters who have some sympathies and empathies and some caring for our people, particularly for our children. So check out Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Excuse me, family. I think that's better. I don't know. Yeah. Akaba Institute. Brothers and sisters, Baba Barudi and Mama Yah, we'd love to have your support to help educating our young warriors. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, if you want to use PayPal, it's Yah Barudi, Yah, Y-A-A, Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I, at Yahoo, for PayPal. For Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make these donations monthly or one time, whatever the case may be. Also, too, if you want to check out some of Baba Barudi's books, he's a prolific writer, go to AkabenHouse.com. AkabenHouse.com. In fact, we're going to get off into one of the books right now. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 24th. Men who are in earnest are not afraid of consequences. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. No men bettered Garvey as a model of steadfast earnestness. I repeat, no man bettered Marcus Garvey as a model of steadfast earnestness. When the force of righteousness, anchored in a deep and abiding love of African people, is found in one of our warrior scholars, we are blessed to witness an unconquerable spirit at work. This is what drove his relentless man to do whatever was needed to free his people. He expected to win. That was never a question for Garvey, and is still not. At the same time, he was also keenly aware that not everyone around him had his will or love for African people. And for this, he knew there would be serious consequences. He was not delusional. He was fully aware that we were those who did not understand nation building. He was cognizant of the inevitable whining tirades of Negro lackeys and their conspiring masters who understandably saw him as a threat to their ill-gotten privilege. Yet he did not falter. He did not stutter. He did not quit. He did what Africans who know they are their ancestors would do. He stood, shielded by a vision of uncompromising liberation, unafraid of any beast. Affirm, consequences do not deter me from committing acts of righteousness. Affirm, consequences do not deter me from committing acts of righteousness. April 25th. Racism systematically verifies itself every time the slave can only be free by intimidating the master, his master. Racism systematically verifies itself every time the captive can only be free by imitating his so-called master, the captor. Jameel Abdul El-Amin, H-Rap Brown. That captives are less than their captors is evident every time they act as they have been defined by the reality that they have accepted and internalized as normal, deserved, correct existence. When doing so, they become active, willful participants in their own negation and dehumanization. To be free, enslaved individuals must recognize their oppression and refuse to participate in it. And herein lies the difference between a captive, and one who is free from captivity. Slaves, I'm going to use that word, okay? I'm going to read this again so we're clearly understood. Herein lies the difference between a slave and one who is enslaved. Slaves actually see themselves as property of those who control them. Slaves believe they can be oppressed and exploited and willfully participate in it. Enslaved individuals know that they are being held captive against their will and work with every means at their disposal to free themselves. They are constantly at war against those who detain and oppress them. Most Africans are not captives. They were in captivity, but they're not captives. As physical chains of bondage were broken off, Europeans switched gears and focused more on their energy on turning Africans into independent captives. So today, the balance in the number of African captives versus those of us who have shifted, most of us progressively regressed into the severest states of mental captivity. These individuals have used every ounce of their genius to turn the world into a plantation on which they can freely be a captive. Affirm, I am no one's captive. Affirm, I am no one's captive. Yeah. The Enye Sesem of Daily from Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, this past Friday, had a very good time in Chattanooga, Tennessee, at the Southeast Region of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters Conference. Saw my good brother and Brother Dennis, Brother Dennis Blackwell. Brothers and sisters, if you're on Facebook, friend, if you still can be friend, Brother Dennis Blackwell, he has some outstanding information he puts out there. I really appreciate him. He's a good brother. Out of the D.C. area. Yeah. So it was a really good seeing those brothers and sisters. You know, I tell you, 50 years. In fact, I'll be in Hartford, Connecticut for our anniversary. You know, the organization in itself I grew up in. If I have any height at all, I stand on the shoulders of those men and women of that organization. Because of me being a firefighter and that organization particularly, I've been almost every major city in this country, and of course many places around the world. So I'm blessed. I really am. I'm blessed, and I owe a lot to the organization. Met some new people, of course, some young people, which is always encouraging, you know. Because you got to infuse the organization with young people and young ideas to keep it going, man. You know, 50 years is a long time, and I got in at 77, so 7 years the organization was only 7 years old. I got into the organization, and and our organization actually was born. So it had to be 78 then, I apologize. You know, our organization was born in 79. That's when we officially, but we were trying to organize a lot prior to that. So, but yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful organization of brothers and sisters. And I look forward to Hartford, Connecticut in August. I'll be gone about a week at that time for that convention. But up until then, I'm going to try my best to be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And that's my commitment. And every time I come here, I don't give you my opinion. Because my opinion is profane. I give you information based on scholarly research by our scholars and historians and those men and women who have good knowledge. Like my guest today. That's right, Brother Jeremiah Kamara. I tell you, this brother, man, if you're... You got to go to YouTube. You got to go to YouTube. Also, too, you got to get his documentaries, Contradiction and Holy Hierarchy. And, oh, man, you know, but he even has some comedy routines. You know, I just thought he had slave sermons. He's got some good stuff on YouTube. And so without delay, let me get my brother Jeremiah Kamara. My good brother, good morning to you. How you doing? Jeremiah Kamara.
Hey, Brother Oshie, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. How are you, dear brother?
All right. I'm doing great, brother. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I just let the audience know I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee this past weekend at the Black Firefighters Conference, and everything went well. And I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad that you're my guest, man, because every time you come on, it's always an honor and pleasure, man, to talk with you and to talk about what's happening.
Always,
man.
My pleasure, man.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure. It's been a while, man.
Yeah, it has, man.
I'm glad to see you still going strong, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try to do this and keep it going. I mean, even if it's just one person, hell, there ain't nobody listening. I'll be on the I'll be trying to throw it out there. Hell, ain't nobody listening. I don't give a damn. But
I hear you, man. I hear you.
But I tell you, you know, you are so talented, man. You really are. The documentaries you produce, and I've said to my listeners here, they need to go check them out. And your production of the Slave Sermons are excellent. Your comedy routine, man. Your comedy. I didn't know that until this morning, man. I didn't know that. I was checking it out. I was, man, it's great. It is great, man.
Yeah. I've got a whole hour and a half of that. I haven't unleashed it yet. And, you know, as hard as it is to believe, Brother Oshie, I used to do stand-up in Cincinnati, my home.
Is that right? Well, I could tell, because you seem so natural.
Yeah, I used to do stand-up, man. And a lot of people don't know that.
They do now.
I didn't really have a desire to get back into it, but I do have that ability to write comic content. And I did that, man. You know, in a couple of days, I've got about an hour and 45 minutes. Well, no, let me see, about an hour, hour and 15 minutes worth of comedy, which I'll probably unleash the whole thing.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to be listening,
you know,
man.
Surely.
Because the two to three I've heard, man, were really great. Really great, man. And when for Christians and for those who are religious, it's, you know, it's a very serious subject. So, you know, something that you don't make light of. You don't, you know, make light of
right.
of the icons of Christianity, you know. But
well,
it is
I hope that their God has a sense of humor. You see what I mean? Because if you serve a God that doesn't have a sense of humor, then how is he your father? Mm-hmm. If you don't share those things. If he's your father, and you have all these things in common, as you say, you have the blood of Jesus, as you say, running through you. Well, I mean, then you should share some of the same characteristics.
Right.
He should have a sense of humor. And if he doesn't have a sense of humor, then how can he be your father in any sense of the word?
Right. I tell you, man. Yeah,
But that was several years ago I did that.
Is that right? It's point. It's on point, man. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was when Obama became president. So that was like 2006.
Oh, yeah. That's a while.
His second.
2012.
Yeah. 2012. So that was about 2016
okay.
or 17 when he was just leaving or
right.
something like that. Around that time, yeah, man. But so it's been a minute, man.
Yeah, but I tell you, well, you know,
good time.
You know, I know we just come out of the Easter celebration, and of course, the Easter celebration is tied in with all three of the major Himyaritic religions, you know, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, and of course, Easter is tied to Judaism. You know, because even though a date could be given at that time when somebody was born or died, and as central as a figure as Jesus is supposed to be, they could have dated that. But they can't date that because it's not real, number one, and it's tied to Judaism, which is not real, number two, because there is no Passover, but that's the story. You know, I know I don't know about you. I've watched the Ten Commandments, man, since I was a little boy, you know, enthralled at the cinematography and the animation. In fact, my youngest daughter, grandson had never seen it. And I was telling him about it. I said, it always comes on, you know, that's Saturday before Easter. And although I couldn't get it because I don't know my streaming service, I couldn't get it. So I was watching basketball anyways, man, you know. But mm-hmm, they watched it. And then I mm-hmm. told them, I said, well, that was good. And they said, yeah, but, the animation was foul, you know, the burning bush and all that stuff. That was foul. Okay. And then I said, well, you know it ain't real. What? Moses ain't real? No, Moses ain't real. Well, wasn't it? But he said Ramesses. Well, Ramesses was real, especially Ramesses II, who undoubtedly was an egomaniac because he built on a grand scale. You know, he was, was real. But that whole situation, there was no Exodus. There were no plagues. There were none of that. And, number one, because if anything happened during that time, they wrote about it. It was scribed. And then, of course, one of the people who are religious always say, well, they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed that God had done this to them. And so they didn't want to write about it. Okay. They were humiliated.
Well, the Bible never mentioned pyramids. So, I mean, that's all right. I need to say.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that right there, listen, you can't be in that region of the world and not notice those things.
Right.
You know, the pyramids, the Sphinx, all of the great monuments
mm-hmm.
at that time, and right. not mention it.
In fact.
So they know nothing about an Exodus or anything like that. So.
Mm-hmm. In fact, those things were built over 1,000 years before that time. So they had to notice that. And the earthquake that and the Arabs that took a lot of the limestone coverings off of them hadn't happened either. So that was some serious bling still going on. And you could not have been in that area and not wrote about them and been mesmerized and enlightened by them, because that was happening.
Well, the whole story is really nonsensical. Egypt, mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Kemet. Mm-hmm.
No, when you look at the first, the Genesis.
Okay.
Genesis is a geological, biological, and cosmological train wreck. It is an absolute train wreck. So everything was made up, and when you take a step back and you get out of it, take a step back and look at it, that's the only way you're really going to see it. But mm-hmm. as long as you're really into it and really up close, you're not going to see it. Like somebody holds you put your cell phone and try to read something that's so close to your eyes, you can't see it until you,
mm-hmm.
Move it back. So you have to step back from it to really see the nonsensical aspect of this whole thing.
But for those who are so deep in it, they don't want to see that. That's not what they want. They don't want to be objective. They don't want to be rational. They don't want to be historical. You know, they are enthralled by the story, you know, because you've been made to feel that the story in itself leads to a personal salvation for you in a wicked world, you know? Yeah.
Well, Brother Oshie, listen, man, those who believe, right, should have some type of fringe benefits. Okay. When we see a Christian, we ought to know it. I mean, if there's a crowd of people, we ought to say, oh, there's a Christian. Because there's a glow that should be emanating from them.
Mm-hmm.
there should be some things that they are just exempt from. Where are your exemptions?
Mm.
Where are your fringe benefits? You know, you experience the same thing as everybody else. You get pain, you get arthritis,
mm-hmm.
you have strokes, you have heart attacks, your children wind up in prison, you get in car accidents, inflation is affecting you the same way,
mm-hmm.
You get taxed, you know, your interest eats you up as well. There's nothing that distinguishes you. And it should be. Because if you're going to invest your time, your energy, and your money, and all this revolves around this belief system that you have,
right,
there should be something within this belief system that distinguishes you from everybody else who's not connected to this. But there isn't. There are no distinguishing characteristics or hallmarks that you possess that we can say, wow, there's a Christian, because you get put out, you get evicted, you get the same things that we all experience. And so when they understand that and you present that to a Christian, their first response is, well, what happens when you die? And see, that's another subject that we could talk about, because you can't really experience non-existence. The person who dies cannot experience that. You can't experience non-existence, because you're not dead when your heart stops. You're dead when your brain
stops. That's right.
Stops. So when your brainwaves stop, that's pretty much it.
That's it.
So now, but you know, I'm not going to cheat this life that I have now, that I have today, by focusing on and concentrating on some life in the hereafter, because I would be cheating this life to put any time to focusing on that right there. And I'm just not going to do it. So everything is predicated upon death. Well, if you live like that, then you're really cheating the life that you have now,
right,
which is full of abundance and beautiful things that you could tap into if you weren't so involved and inculcated with this nonsensical belief system.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the reality is this is a physical world that we live in, you know, and that is tangible, that you can touch and taste and feel and so forth, you know, as opposed to the belief of a world that you are told lies beyond here simply because you believe it. And you believe it, and you believe in an entity of Christ as a savior. So no matter what hell you catch here, and you will, because this is a physical world, there's ups and downs for everybody. So whatever happens to you here, because of your belief, you think and believe that you will be rewarded upon your non-existence, upon your death.
You know? And everybody believes that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a saying, you know, there's a paddle for every ass on this earth. There's a paddle for every behind has a paddle waiting for them. So listen, man, I don't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, yellow, brown, red, whatever. Life has a paddle for you. And people want to talk about those who are born with silver spoons, right? Let me tell you something, man. There are way more stories about people who were born with silver spoons and allowed that spoon to tarnish. Just because you're born with the silver spoon doesn't mean you can keep it shine and keep it going. There are way more stories. The people that were born with silver spoons, you know, are meth, wind up on meth, wind up on heroin.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of stories about that. So it doesn't matter what ethnicity or what your background is. There is a paddle for every ass.
Yep.
You're going to experience that rain, and you're going to experience that sunshine. But it's what you do with these universal laws, the law of divine oneness, the law of vibration, the law of correspondence and things like that, the law of attraction and all those things. It all depends on how you go about responding. That's why they call it responsibility. How do you respond to the crisis? Now, you have a choice. You can respond to those crises in ways that are conducive to, you know, how you would respond to universal principles, or you could pray about it, which is just an adult form of wishing. You know, it's amazing that, you know, I was out yesterday, me and my wife, we went out and, you know, we ate at a nice place and with some people that were praying, you know, over their food.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, if that's the case, you shouldn't have a thing called, you should never get food poisoning.
Right.
You should never get food poisoning.
If you pray over your food all the time and ask God, you shouldn't. That's right.
and mainly what's wrong with you has to do with what you're ingesting. What you're taking in your mouth.
Right, what you're ingesting.
You dig your grave with your spoon and your fork.
Yeah. Because you see some people.
Now, but you're praying over some things that is going to give you high blood pressure, you know, hypertension.
Yep. And diabetes.
Diabetes and lead to all types of things. So it's really nonsensical. There's really no rational element to belief. All belief means is that you have accepted what somebody told you or what you have read. And all the preachers do is pretty much cherry pick every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They cherry pick.
Right.
And they're not going to tell you the craziness, the abundance of craziness that takes place in that Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is absolutely, I mean, from cannibalism.
Oh, yeah. Murder.
Child abuse.
Yep. Adultery.
Child abuse.
Incest.
To all type of saving of foreskins. I mean, it's nonsensical, but you're not going to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to hear about those things that love and all these things. And if you say, well, God is love. Now, my next question to you is, which one are you talking about? Because you're talking about that God in the Bible. That's not love. If you're talking about that particular God, the only thing that we know about this God, where he lives, who he likes, what he does, what he doesn't like, is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that were connected to him, the Moseses, the Joshuas, mm-hmm. the Jesus, the Adams, the Eves, all the people who were the Noahs connected to him. That means that the only description that you have is what you have in that Bible. That's how you find out who he is and where he lives and what he likes and dislikes, etc. Mm-hmm. So that means that if you take that Bible away, you essentially take your God away.
Yeah. Because there's nowhere else outside of that is that mentioned or described or stated.
No, nothing else.
Nothing
so what would you arrive at? Would it be animism? How would you arise? Would you have a sense of a God? Would there be many gods?
Mm-hmm.
Or would your God be a female? Or would it be a man and a female?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it be a child? Or would it be a goat? You don't know because it's been tainted over the years by other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So you have accepted this as the truth, and you have either refused to accept the fact that it's fairy tale, or you haven't run into anybody who's told you any differently. Just think about it, though, Oshi. I mean, here it is, you're 40 years old, you're 50 years old, you're 60 years old, etc. And you've invested a lot of time.
And money.
So if you were told that this was nonsensical, you happened to stumble across some truth and you came to your senses, so to speak, because people say, well, Jeremiah, how did you become a non-believer? And I just tell them I came to my senses. I can't pinpoint a time or a specific day or a specific month where they have. There are some incidences that led to that, but I pretty much came to my senses. So when you come to your senses, you probably will still hold on to your beliefs, because for you to accept the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you've lost over the years.
Mad as hell.
You know, and let me tell you something, Oshi, the world has changed now, man. And we're not going back to pre-COVID times. Everything has changed. Inflation is now 8% Now, why am I saying that? Because you look at all the building that's continuing to go on. You look at all these people losing their homes. Number one, they get you in a couple of ways. I'm only going to mention a few, but they get you in a couple of ways. The first way they get you is they catch you. People, Oshie, do not lose their house because they can't pay the mortgage. They lose their house essentially when you see all these gentrification, which is a fancy word for hostile takeover. But when you see all of this going on, right? They're not losing their homes because they were not accustomed to paying their mortgage. They were doing that. They lose their homes because they get this big tax rising taxes that they can't afford because it comes at one time. So now you owe $8,000 worth of taxes because they arbitrarily go up on the tax rate that you can't afford. So they get you that way. Now they've gotten you to a point where you can't even afford, if you were deciding to stay in your area, well, you're going to be forced to fix your property up because now they're going to bring an HOA in on you and all this kind of stuff. But you can't really afford to fix it up now. Why? Because materials prices are through the roof. You got, I mean, one 12-foot, for those of you who know about building materials, you know what I'm talking about. One 12-foot, 6x6 pressure-treated wood, piece of wood, is about $85.
Huh?
80, man. That's for one.
Wow.
Last year it was half that much.
Yeah.
It was half of that. So now, that's another way that you're being hit, okay? Now, just think about all the foolishness, things that nobody made you do, because now you know, you have to practice common sense in your life. Nobody made you believe in Christmas. You know, I haven't celebrated the holidays since I was like a teenager.
Right.
I don't get into Christmas and Thanksgiving and I call it Family Day for Thanksgiving.
Right. You know
Halloween and this, Easter, and put my green on St. Patrick's Day and you fooled into somebody telling you that New Year's is on the first day when it's in the dead smack of winter. But here it is. You've taken your money, your hard-earned money now, for years, and you've given 10% of that to the church. Now, when your house comes around to pay these taxes, that's where your money is. It's in the church. And when you go to that church to recoup what you pay, you're not going to get it.
You're not going to get it.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah. Think about what you're doing. Listen, when you read books like The Richest Man in Babylon and things like that, you know, these old books, you know, Creature from Jekyll Island, etc. All of these books, they tell you the first law of wealth is to pay yourself first. Pay you first. So if somebody gives you a dollar, 10 cents of that is yours. Give the 10% to you. If you would have paid yourself first instead of paying this preacher, now you claim this guy has many mansions, or if it wasn't so, I would not have told you. If this guy has many mansions, why in the hell does he need some money? Now, if this preacher convinced you that he or she was called to preach, then this guy who called them should have taken care of all their expenses. Oshie, when I was in Milwaukee, where me and you met in Milwaukee, and you called me to come and speak, the expenses were taken care of.
Right.
The accommodations were taken care of. How can you call a person to come and speak and I don't take care of your accommodations?
Right.
How do you call me to preach, but I have to worry about the lights being on? I have to worry about, you know, the PA systems working and all this kind of stuff. So that is not my responsibility. He didn't call me. He called you, but you're asking me for money.
Mm-hmm.
So now you look at this situation that you're in. So this cash system, from the likes of which we've never seen before, we've always had it, but it's going to be very up close and personal now, this cash system that we're going to experience. It's a caste system to where you have to understand that nobody, life doesn't promise you anything. Nobody owes you anything. They don't owe you. You could do that from a political standpoint. You could try to get this and try to get that. And I understand how I understand why we would try to get reparations. But to me, it would make more sense in getting reparations when we were not so immersed in Eurocentric culture.
Exactly.
Because the next day that you go to work and your white coworker sees you with a pocket full of money, and he'll look at you and say, wait a minute, where's my money? None of my ancestors enslaved you. You do the same thing I do. We celebrate Christmas together. We celebrate Thanksgiving together. We go to New Year's parties together. What is it about you and your culture that is so different than mine? And if you can't name that, then how do you justify receiving anything? Mm-hmm. I could see if you were different, if you didn't celebrate this, there was something distinguishing about you. And that's something that the church doesn't teach you. There's no culture involved other than the fact that you go to church on Sunday, other than the fact that you have these sayings, that these hackneyed remarks that you put out every Sunday. Turn to your neighbor and wait on the Lord, all of these things. Yeah. That would constitute your culture. But now you're in bad shape because you don't have the money. And it's not necessarily what you make in life, because the millionaire next door is not that person that has these diamond watches and, you know, these Rolexes and driving around in Bentleys. The millionaire next door is the one who clipped coupons, who lived in the margins. It's not always what you make, but what you keep that counts. So now you haven't kept anything. Mm-hmm. You're giving your money to the church, and now you find yourself in bad shape. Mm-hmm. And it's just really a tragedy. It's a travesty. It's a tragedy for what we're what's taking place right now. And you can blame that on religion. And I don't think that people really realize how deep that rabbit hole of religion is. Mm-hmm. We're just touching on one thing. That's the economics of it. There are many facets to that rabbit hole that carries you deep inside, to the point that you don't even know that you are committing an error, that you're doing yourself a psychological disservice. Mm-hmm. It's like a person that's drunk and they're riding on they don't even realize they're on the wrong side of the road, about to have a head-on collision. Mm. It's like when you are drunk into this religion, you don't even realize that you're driving on the wrong side of the road, things that are about to happen to you. You don't realize how you put aside valuable relationships with human beings who you see and who you touch every day, to have a relationship with some being that you've never seen, with some being that was made up in a book, some being that was created by another human being. So you don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes, you know, with this religion thing. But we're going to find out. And one day, Oshie, maybe 10 years from now, I don't know if it'll be in your lifetime. I don't know. But one day it's going to be extremely offensive to be religious. Mm-hmm. Just like it's offensive using the N-word, offensive
right.
using certain language, to tell somebody that you actually believe in this being that lives up in the sky and he's watching you on a daily basis. You know, he's watching you while you do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. I don't think anybody really believes, because if they did, you wouldn't do half the things, 90% of things that you do, if you really believed it. But what it is, you are afraid not to believe.
Right. In fact, I told this cat.
That transition. Mm-hmm.
I told this cat when I was back in Milwaukee, came to visit. And I went to my good brother who owns this cafe called Coffee Makes You Black. So we're in there, and my good brother Kwe Koo was there at the time. And this dude, he was an assistant to Ron Johnson, the U.S. senator who's an idiot. And so we're talking about, then he got to talking about religions and so forth. And I said to him, you know what it is? It's this. You rather believe in this stuff and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. because if it is true, you and you didn't believe, your ass is burning in hell. So the fear of it, I'm going to believe this, I'm going to go with this, even though it doesn't make sense, it's irrational, it's definitely not historical, but I'm trained.
What exactly? Well, what is the first thing that happens, Oshi, with a person, with their belief, to convince you that they're correct?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a personal testimony. See, I know that this God is real because I've seen him. Mm-hmm. He talked to me. Mm-hmm. Now,
if you grew up
and all you've ever heard since the time you were 3 and 4 or 5 years old, and now you're 21, 22, but all you've ever heard and saw was Jesus and God and the Bible and Christianity and all the pictures that I can go on Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, right now, I can hang up this phone and go right now and find white biblical iconography, which should be against the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a psychological disservice
exactly.
to those
it's damaging.
Who don't meet those images.
Mm-hmm. It's
but
damaging.
Nobody's thinking about that. You're worried about taking Andrew Jackson and Robert E. Lee down off the mountain in Stone Mountain. Why? Mm. That's history. That's like, I don't advocate destroying the Bible. That's history. The Bible should be taught as history, not as a reality. You're more concerned about taking down monuments of so-called, you know, Confederate monuments of slave owners or whatever you titles you put on them. Then you are eradicating white imagery that exists in hotels, in hospitals, in airports, in gas stations, in Walmart, which is the largest retailer in the world. You see white images of Jesus, mm-hmm. but you don't have a problem with that. And the reason is you are, it's so ingrained, it's so so-called normal that you don't even have you just look at it, you sit up and watch Passion of the Christ, you talked about Easter earlier. And the first image of this white man that you saw, it should have bothered you. You should be bothered by that. You know, but this first, if you were embedded with this idea of this Jesus and all that, when they testify and they give their personal experience and say, I saw Jesus, okay, you're only going to see what you've already been conditioned
told to see.
And taught
exactly.
and trained to see.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have a Jesus experience and you've never heard of a Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if you were taught since you were 3, 4, or 5 years old that Sasquatch, and I always like to use Sasquatch because he's big and he's imposing, but the Sasquatch was God. And Sasquatch had a son. And when you went to the doctor's office, you see these biblical books laying around. You open the book, you saw Sasquatch. If this was your manner of orientation in your life, when you talk about the experience of you hearing God and all that, you would see a Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
Period. But what's really funny and crazy, you know, is that your God actually has an ethnicity.
Hmm.
I mean, this is
over
crazy.
Over all other ethnicities.
Over all others. Mm-hmm. There are more Asians and Africans in the world, but your God has a Eurocentric. Well, he can't be that because he lived in this part of the world. I mean, Jesus was a Galilean Jew, so he couldn't have been white. You can say that. But that's not what
That's right.
That's perception. Perception is stronger than reality.
Right. And the perception
Walmart don't
is.
Give a damn about him being a Galilean Jew and lived in a certain part of the region of the world. That's not what these... I was just at a flea market yesterday, and it was immersed, inundated
mm-hmm.
with Caucasian images of a Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So your God is personified, you know, just like we personified everything else, but He has an ethnicity. Now, you can claim that your God is of no race or color, but your precious God and your precious Jesus was invented by the white people who looked like the God they invented.
Exactly. And you know, so, they should. I mean, your deity should look like you. If you have a image of the deity, it should look like you. You know, the Buddha.
All day. All day.
Mm-hmm.
All their gods look like Buddhist God, like you say. Hindu right. God. See, your God as a black person ought to look like you, and exactly. he or she ought to know what it's like to be kidnapped.
Exactly.
And brought to a strange land.
Right, and suffered. Mm-hmm.
And suffered, and enslaved, and mm-hmm. called a boy,
mm-hmm.
and made to work out in the field,
mm-hmm.
and made to mate under horrible conditions, and know what it's like to have their children sold.
Mm-hmm.
Your God ought to have that story. You're a character in the wrong movie. You know, if you mm-hmm. go to my film, on YouTube, it's called The God Matrix.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, it's called The God. It's about maybe, I don't know, 8-9 minutes long mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's called The God Matrix. And it shows you how you're a character in the wrong film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this God that we're accustomed to seeing. And I can assure you that he dressed that way too. The God that you see in these sandals and robes, that's the way they dress. And I've always said that Jesus is white. Oh, he's white. But Jeremiah, how could you say that? First of all, if you say he's black, do you realize how insulting that is? Do you realize what you're saying? That you're talking about a black guy who does nothing about you being on the bottom of every category in society. A black God that did not sink the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. A black God that knew that John Hawkins was getting ready to have the first slave, knowing that you were getting ready to be enslaved for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And this black God stood by and did nothing.
Mm.
I say he's white. Why? Because he's white on television. Not that he existed, but let's look at forget reality. We're talking about perception. He's white on television.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix has about 14 religious shows. They're all white. Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever want more proof that your guys were, like I said, go to Walmart. He's the largest, that's the largest retailer. In the world, it doesn't matter what color or race you believe Jesus was or is.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is perception.
Exactly.
The fact that this God is even depicted as having a race or belonging to a particular ethnic group has caused major superiority and inferiority complex.
Automatically.
So if I was white, Oshie, and I was able to travel to Greece and the Vatican and Rio de Janeiro to see that big, you know,
right, Corcovado, yeah,
that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I traveled to Germany, and I traveled to Poland, and I traveled to, you know, all mm-hmm. these different, and I traveled to Nigeria, who has the second largest statue of white Jesus anywhere mm-hmm. in the world. And I go to all these different places as a white person and as a believer. My racial esteem would
high.
Be through the roof.
High. It's high.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. You yes. cannot tell me that we're all created equally. How are we all created equally when I am made in the image of my God?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How? So that is something that, and you know, that needs to be illegal. Well, Jeremiah, you're not going to win that case. We're not talking about winning and losing.
Well,
we're talking about bringing attention.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Because in order to have racism is a ranking system, Oshie. Mm-hmm. It's a ranking system. Okay? And it comes from religion. That's all in my film, Holy Hierarchy.
I love it.
The religious roots of racism in America.
Brothers and sisters, you got to get that documentary.
If you think racism comes from any other place but religion, you need to watch that film.
Mm-hmm. You do. Mm-hmm. The roots of white racism, religion, Christianity. Listen, I'm going to take a break. So when we come back from the break, there's a lot of callers, Brother Jeremiah. A lot of people want to get in on this conversation. This is outstanding. Really appreciate you today, man, for being here with us. And so I'm going to take a short break, and as soon as we come back, we're going to go jump right into it. And, of course, those who are already in the queue, you know what to do. Hit star twice. For those who are still listening, would like to have conversation with Brother Jeremiah Kamara, just dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hey. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'm going to forego those other announcements I usually make of other programming here because to get back to the conversation with my dear friend, Brother Jeremiah Kamara. And for anybody who was on the queue, a lot of you, hit star twice if you got a question or comment for our guest, Brother Jeremiah Kamara. And if not, those who are listening, call 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Getting back to the documentary, Brother Jeremiah, Holy Hierarchy, you know, once again, and I'm just going to state it, I'm impressed with how talented you are, man. You're a dynamic brother, and your productions are outstanding. The documentaries are great. Even the comedy pieces are good. And for anybody who checks out Slave Sermons on the little vignettes, anywhere from a couple of minutes to, you know, 6-7 minutes, vignettes, man, they're outstanding. So, I mean, this brother has a lot of content. 267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Oshi. I want to say good afternoon to your guests, man. How are you both?
All right, Brother Ralph. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, Brother Jeremiah. Yeah, those Slave Sermons in the early days, episodes 1 through 10, man, you got your point across. I have to say that much. You know, me, and I'll be honest with you, brother. I was raised by my grandma. I'm in my 60s now, but I was raised by my grandmother. And you know for a fact, in Eastern Shore, Maryland, we were raised Methodist. And a lot of those things I got to say are still in me, even though I know better. But what I want to say to you, this world that we live in don't make sense. So, of course, it's very easy to be involved in a religion that don't make sense. I mean, here we are all around the world being stepped on by people who hate us, yet we love them. And, you know, so it's very easy for a person to say, well, something's wrong with this world. Let me escape into another one that makes me a little bit more accepting of what's happening to me. Now, I'm going to give you an example I saw this morning. Brother, it was I remember the brothers back in the 60s and the 70s in the Nation of Islam used to wear suits and bow ties. They were sharp. The way they dressed was sharp. But now I've seen that same religion put our brothers in dresses, man. And they justify walk around in dresses. And they got a name for the dress. But, you know, to me, that's sinister. Because anything, you know, and I know the dangers of religion. God knows I've been involved with plenty of them. I painted my Jesus black because I knew something was wrong with John Wesley and the way that he painted his savior. So, I've been through the ringer. I've been through different religions. I've been through a whole bunch, and I know the dangers of them. It's bondage. It is bondage. But when you look at the world we live in, the programming on television, the politics, which none of us really understand, yet we constantly go to it of trying to elect somebody that's going to get us from our bondage, and all they do is step on us more. None of this stuff makes sense. We're living in a lie. So that God matrix that you're talking about, that, you know, I haven't seen it. I think I'm going to take a look at it. But I am enjoying the conversation, brother. I think we need to be enlightened, and we need to reach those who are still in religious bondage, because you're never going to put a damn dress on me, man. You're never going to do. But these brothers are walking around proudly with dress on. And you talked about taking the religion of our slave masters. Well, all they got to do is look at the Arab invasion of 635 AD. And right. Also the way those Arabs are treating our brothers and sisters on the continent right now in Libya and elsewhere. Yet they cling to that damn religion. So, you know, it's all facets, brother, but continue to wake our people up. I appreciate your work. I did see hierarchy and a lot of other things, man. And we have a lot of work to do, brother. And I can only share my experience with you. You know, I don't need religion to tell me do not kill, steal, sleep with my neighbor's wife. Mm-hmm. I don't need all that because it's in me now.
Right on.
But,
yes, sir.
You know, I just wanted to, like, say continue to educate our people and wake them up because we are being exploited in these buildings. These preachers are just nothing. I call them creatures. They're not preachers. They're creatures. They're stealing mm-hmm. from our people, putting mm-hmm. them in banks that we don't own and stepping mm-hmm. on us. So I just want to say thank you. I'm enjoying the conversation, and I'm going to go back on mute.
All right, Brother Ralph. Appreciate you, dear brother. Thank you.
Brother, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me just comment. I really appreciate that last call. I appreciate his call so much. He mentioned politics, and you hit it on the head. You said for things that we really don't understand. Let me tell you, Oshi, we had, me and you had breakfast, about 3 weeks ago or something?
Exactly.
And I told you that I had not watched the news since March 11th, 2020. Okay, so it's been over 2 years. No CNN, no Fox, no MSNBC, not even the local news. Doesn't mean that I'm intellectually lagging or I don't know what's going on. I do know how to read. I can watch what I... But I'm just at the point in my life where I just don't want to see Robin Mead anymore. I don't need to wake up and put my coffee on a missionary. That's crazy. I don't know her. She doesn't know me. Nothing against her person. But let me tell you, man, that brother hit it on the button because it is erroneous. And I'm going to jump to his other point, but I just want to make this quick point about politics. It is erroneous for me to, first of all, let me say this. There are about, I don't know, two dozen intelligence agencies. Okay. There are dozens of secret societies. That means it's a lot of things to keep under the table and under wraps mm-hmm. that they talk about on the golf courses and things like that.
Right.
To run a nation takes an unimaginable amount of sophistication, amount of complexity, and, you know, just an amount of secretness.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it's unimaginable. I am not going to fool myself and think when I come down the stairs with unbrushed teeth and my house coat and my slippers and I sit down with my cup of coffee, my remote control, and I cut the TV on that I'm somehow being informed.
Mm.
Get the hell out of here. I know what you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. You want me to get wrapped up in Ukraine when there are many situations, many conflicts going on around the world. But you want me wrapped up in Ukraine, and I don't even have my local county representative's number in my phone. But I'm talking about Ukraine. I didn't grow up in Ukraine. I don't know the intricacies of that. And I can't listen to the news and then come with some real strong opinion on it based off of what I've heard. And I don't even have my own county where I live, that person's the county representative's number in my phone. But I know something about Ukraine. It is just erroneous. Mm. Now, let me digress and just get off of that political. We got another subject. That's another documentary, which I have already had the excerpts, which I really want to do something with, but I'm going to wait a minute. I want to get back to one point that Brother May, he said that he grew up Methodist, and there are some elements of that he just cannot shake, and I understand that. Remember when we were in Milwaukee, that brother says, look, I get all that. Remember mm-hmm. the brother who stood up?
Right, right.
I watched the gym, and he said, look, I get all that, but... you know, I still, you know, believe, I'm still, listen, let's look at the court system, for example. Okay, in court, for instance, a prosecutor might mention something about a defendant's past that is irrelevant to his current case. And the defense attorney will object, okay? And the judge, you know, he will object, and the judge will request that the jury, you know, disregard the prosecutor's remark.
Mm-hmm. But the damage has been done.
The problem with that is the train has already left the station, man.
The damage has been done.
The jury cannot erase what they've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You can paint Jesus black all you want. But that image that you saw
during
your formative years of 3, 4, and 5 is with you. That can't be undone. Those are the images that you've been exposed to since birth and continue to be bombarded with 24 hours a day. Listen, man, I wish if this was on Zoom, I would show you something right here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this. It says you are invited, and it says memorial. And hold on a minute. Let me see if I can get the I was looking for the envelope. Now, I'm stereotyping, okay? I am stereotyping. But I'm pretty sure it was, and I'm on my desk here. I'm looking for the envelope. I can't find the envelope. But the name was Keisha Jones, right? And I'm a bet that was a sister.
Okay.
Who sent me this.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I opened the mail and said, you know, Jeremiah Kamara and this and that, you were invited Friday, April 15th, which, of course, is fast. And I'm looking at this little pamphlet here, and it's by the JehovahWitness.org, and there's a white Jesus on there. And I open it up. It's just twofold, and it's the Last Supper or whatever. They're having a little meeting or whatever. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 white men. Now, what the hell does that say about me? I am offended. I'm appalled. I am... You just completely disregarded who I am. And it's really comical that your God has a race at all. He actually has a race, an ethnicity, which is really, it's just, try to wrap your head around that. Try to wrap your head around that there's this white man or whatever region, you can call him whatever. I don't care. Listen, if the Bible is black, does it, if it was written by black folk, does it make the stories in it any less absurd?
Exactly. No, it
if
does
Jesus
not.
Was, if he is black, what the hell does he do for you? So we need to get off of that. You can't just dip him in chocolate and think everything is okay.
Well, you know what? It's just like Barack Obama being president. We're so enamored with the idea. Just the concept is symbolism without substance. So even if we paint God black, and of course, there was a lot of backlash, as you know, about us doing that. A lot of backlash by us because we had been so indoctrinated.
Oh yeah. I mean, you saw Good Times.
Yeah.
I think that's my slave sermon episode number 16.
Yes.
Well, Florida said, no, this is my Jesus right here. It doesn't, all that doesn't matter. The fact is, that you actually believe, and here we are in the 21st century according to the Roman calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the 21st century now. You're walking around, having lived, you know, to your 40s and your 50s and your 60s, and you're still holding on to the idea that there's a person, irrespective of their ethnicity, that died. They did, came back to life after 3 days, walked on water, was born of a virgin. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Born of a virgin with no sperm, no egg, nothing. Walked on water, called himself the light of the world, lives in a place called heaven, died, came back to life, and is going to come back again to get you one day. Brother, listen, man, that is nothing short of paranoia, schizophrenia. You can call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
That is, listen, when you're brainwashed, you don't realize you're brainwashed.
Right.
People that are brainwashed don't know they're brainwashed.
Exactly. They think they're thinking correctly.
But when you step back, just like I was able to step back from the news, and I saw how much of my life was not being lived because I was inundated and inculcated by what they were feeding me on a daily basis. Who shot who? Who said this? What side does Trump, you know, I heard Trump, racism, Biden, COVID. Biden, COVID, racism, Trump. COVID, racism, Biden, Trump. Over and over and over. And let me tell you, there's something called, and this is another show, I don't mean to flip from one thing to another, but you know, you know how I am, Oshie. Mm-hmm. But so I get passionate about it.
Right on.
But there's something called psychoneuroimmunology.
Mm.
Psychoneuroimmunology, your mind can wreak havoc on your immune system. What you think in your mind has a profound effect on your health.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Imagine you hearing death from COVID hundreds of thousands of times over these two plus years that we've been inundated with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine you heard that hundreds of thousands of times. What do you think that does to your psyche?
Mm-hmm. Puts fear into you.
Have you ever been? Have you ever been feeling kind of sick, Kobe, Oshie, and all of a sudden you said, you know what? I'm on vacation. I'm not going to let this take over. And you
right.
just do your mind a total and say, I'm good. And then you start to get better.
Yes, sir.
Or when yes, you sir. Start Serious. To feel lousy and then you give into it. You say, oh, I'm feeling lousy. And you go until you lay, you give into it. It gets worse and worse. Psychoneuroimmunology is real. So are placebos. Listen, man, you have placebo surgeries. I'm going to repeat that. Placebo surgeries.
So a fake surgery, and yet you feel because you had that surgery, you're better.
They cut on your knee and didn't do a thing. Cut on your back and didn't do a thing, and then you say, oh, I feel so much better. You cannot tell me that that same psychoneurological process is not going on with the news. Let me tell you, Oshie, what is the number one objective of the news?
Well,
and I'm so glad the brother mentioned that. We're talking about religion, but hell, it's the same damn thing. It's the same thing. What's the number one objective of the news?
It's supposed to be to inform.
Is it to? Right, but I'm saying, what is it? What is their number one goal? Is it to inform us? Is it to control us? Is it to psychologically manipulate us? Is it to create puppets? Is it to psychologically enslave us? Is it to exploit the man? What is the number one goal of the news?
I know one thing, they make money. The news makes money for the television stations and for all those drug companies.
The number one goal is to make money. It's a profit. Not to inform you, not to enslave you psychologically, not to control you. Those are byproducts that might come with that. But number one, by any stretch of the imagination, number one is to get paid.
There it is.
You're talking about Fox and MSNBC making over $1 billion profit. Their news has never been so profitable as it is now. So if I can create something and keep telling you something, exist. I'm not saying that, don't get me wrong, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Nobody says COVID did not exist. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have to be really cautious of the news. The news is it's entwined in a vicious circle of mutual manipulation and myth-making for self-interest. They need certain crises to dramatize news, and governments need to appear to be responding to these various crises. And too often these crises are not really crises, but
right, they're manufactured.
As Paul Weaver says, joint fabrications. They're ensnared in a, as he put it, a symbiotic web of lies. You need this thing. You need this thing. It is the number one homogenizing agent that we have.
Yep.
But getting back to his point on Methodist, you know, and I understand being in that region, you know, that Maryland, Pennsylvania area, you know, we have so many PKs, preacher's kids, and they just can't see. Well, my daddy was a preacher, so I know it's real. Don't conflate the idea that when you go to church, you smell good. When you go to church in the hood, inside that church is clean. The seats are velvet. The music, and I play piano, so I know the beautiful gospel chords, woo, make your spine tingle. The fact that you look good, that you just bought this beautiful suit, you got on a brand new pair of shoes, you're smelling good. The church looks good. The music is good. Your father, your uncle, your grandfather is a part of that ministry. Do not conflate that with truth. Mm. That's called conflation. That has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, with what they're, is to combine into one. So you're combining all those elements into an idea that it must be real. Look at this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah. It's like, you know, you look at, that's why when the Passion of the Christ first came on, you know, I watched the first 5 minutes of it.
Man,
yesterday,
that was torturous.
And, right. It was crazy that when it came on, it showed the image of the sky, because you want to equate this God with the sky and the clouds and the sun and things like that. And it reminds me of what Oprah Winfrey erroneously said several years ago, that those atheists or those non-believers or skeptics could not possibly have a love or an appreciation for nature. That is the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. I'm sitting up here now with a telescope in my office. I'm looking at my telescope right now, that I can peer into the night. It's really hard to do here where I am because of the light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my goals and bucket lists is to go to Chile, to the Paranal Observatory, and observe the night sky. I have apps on my phone that tells me where the Milky Way is and this position of this star. I am enthralled. I'm enamored. I am smitten with nature. Mm-hmm. If I see a fly on my screen and he's on the screen door and not deep within my house, I'm going to open the screen. At my business, we just had a bee infestation. We had to call a beekeeper to come. I have pictures. I'm going to send you, remind me to send you that.
Okay.
On my phone.
Okay.
A beekeeper actually came. It was a swarm, and I was hurt, and I asked the beekeeper, did you have to kill them? He said, brother, we don't kill them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we smoke them.
Right.
And we lure them into this box, hoping that we got the queen and the rest will follow.
Right.
My whole countenance changed. It just got back up to a state of liveliness, knowing that you didn't kill these bees who are only doing what bees do. Mm-hmm. They're being bees.
And the bees are necessary.
So I'm a lover.
They're necessary.
They're necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is, a person that does not accept. And you never heard me say, Oshie, you've never, no, none of my hundreds of interviews I've ever done have I ever said, I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in God. I have never said that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't believe in gods, plural, or a God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I say I don't believe in God, that is implying that there is a God to believe in or disbelieve in. So I put the article, or the, or make it plural, because in India there are millions of gods right now.
Mm-hmm.
We think that our God is special, and we think that our beliefs, there's nothing erroneous about our beliefs. Our beliefs are just as erroneous and comical as the beliefs that you would find in any other belief system. Mm-hmm. There are 33,000 sects and denominations of Christianity.
What?
33,000. 33,000
of Christianity.
Sects.
Man.
Of Christianity.
Mm.
So now here it is, but I'm going to look at my belief, look at it and think is right. Mm-hmm. Hindu, you have millions of Hindu worshipers, they gather annually to pray over Shiva's penis. Okay. And I'm not making fun. I'm talking about this is what they
right.
do.
Right.
But Christianity, Catholics pray to the image of Virgin Mary. In Shintoism, you got worshipers that believe that when a person dies, the soul never leaves the body, and the dead have a conscience. That's not what the brainwave scan says.
Right.
In Christianity, Mormons believe that Jesus came to America after his resurrection.
Right.
Muslims believe that suicide bombers who sacrificed their lives,
mm-hmm.
On behalf of the will of Allah, believe that hundreds of virgins
right.
will be awaiting them in heaven. Well, Christianity, yeah. Baptists believe that when they get to heaven, there's going to be streets paved in gold and mansions awaiting them.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on and on about the notions about Christianity that parallel to beliefs that you would call erroneous.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know any better because this is what you were raised with. This is how you came up with, and this is just something that you can't shake. Why? Because that train has already left the station. Right.
We're going to take another caller. We got some cats hanging on. I know this other brother wants to get in, but 334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie, and good afternoon, Brother Jeremiah Kamara. It is a pleasure to hear your voice in real time. I've seen pictures of you, love your slave sermons, etc. But it's a pleasure at this time to talk with you. Real quickly, number one, is there anything as such called freedom from religion? Can we really be free from religion? You just mentioned there's 33,000, so can we be free from religion?
That is a very good question. And let me tell you, I don't think so. I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because human beings have always sought to find something supernatural that's great, that they perceive as greater than themselves, to explain things, to solve problems. For instance, when those glaciers were encroaching on those villages in Europe, they went out and sprinkled holy water on them. Magic actually preceded religion.
Okay.
And when they saw that the magicians actually had no power, they reverted to religion. Well, maybe there's a mysterious God that's beyond our understanding. So I don't know if human beings are predisposed to seek supernatural things beyond our understanding. But now let's look at this. We know now what causes wind. We talk about your God, you can't see your God, right? And the first thing that the Christians are going to say when you say that you can't see your God, they're going to say, well, you can't see the wind either, but you know that it's there. And that's the go-to rebuttal. But we know now what makes the wind. And we know a lot about other things that you can't see that affect us. We know things on a microscopic level. But we're not talking about those things. We're talking about something that you worship, that you pray to, that you're afraid of, and something on which you base your life and your core beliefs. We're talking about your God here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if human beings are predisposed to doing that. I tell you, when I was in Africa and I stood on this cheetah mound and I looked over and I saw that it was so vast, and this was the mound, I had to be careful. That a lot of the cheetahs, come on and stand up. But I saw the vastness. And I said, I could see where religion would start here. Like, I would have to, looking at the vastness of this landscape, I would have to ask myself, am I the only one? Or do we have the only village? How did we get here? How did this rock get here? So whether it be animism or Christianity or Judaism, we speak of Judaism. We understand, listen, I get why Judaism was created. I get it. I understand why they did it. When you look at Judaism, Jews were being evicted and kicked out. And look, you know, look at, just you could follow the map. They were along the coast. And they were getting kicked out of all these places. They needed a God that was a kick-ass God that said, look, you mess with the Jews, this God's going to kick your ass. And that's pretty much all this Old Testament is. Mm-hmm. It's a kick-ass book on behalf of the Jewish, of the Jews. My God is going to kick your ass if you bother us. It's the Wild Wild West. So there are some creations of religion that they need in order to placate them, or to, in order to, you know, we make up stories about how our loved ones, how we're going to see them again, in order to placate the grief that we're experiencing from having have lost them. But that's because we have imaginations to do those things. But that's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. If we are predisposed to believe in something to placate our grief and to help us cope with certain things.
One other quick one, Brother Kamala, is Dipte Bookman was a voodoo priest in Haiti and was really instrumental in getting that revolution started. As a matter of fact, there's a prayer dedicated by him called Bookman's Prayer. The end of it goes, listen to the voice of liberty or for liberty that speaks in our hearts. Is that the place where we should focus in on for God that is within us?
Well, let me answer by saying this right here. I was at a flea market yesterday, and his brother knew me, and he whispered over to me, he motioned me to come to him, and I got down, and he whispered, he said, God is good. And I started laughing. And then he really did that in order to learn more. He really wanted to talk. And he asked me about business, right? And I've been a successful business person. You know, I've had my own business for like, you know, 30 years. I'm doing very well. I've hired 22 felons over the years. They say the new rich is being debt-free. I'm in no debt. And I'm doing well. And I'm free to do what I want to do. And I told him that I thought the number one aspect of business, because I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm, you know, a shrewd Wall Street businessman. You know, I'm not going to do that. But I do know enough about this. Then I told him the number one aspect of business was about relationships. Mm-hmm. I choose to have relationships with people. Not an imaginary being, not some being that I don't really share things in common with that person. Because if this is my father and I see this being killing for the slightest thing, he's teasing a man's bald head, he's going to send bears to dismember his children. I mean, read the book. It's all in there. Mm. But I don't identify with that God.
Yeah.
Vengeful. I'm not a killer like that.
Yeah, vengeful. Evil.
You got what? 10 people in the Bible that the devil killed? 10. And they did, you know, you want to put all together, like the different groups, you know, that the Philistines, all the different groups that God was supposed to allegedly have took down. And there's, you know, this chapter in Numbers, I think is chapter 31 verse 17, I think it is, kill everybody. Mm-hmm. The children, the livestock, everybody. So when you do that, when they did that, they put together 3.2 million people. And you want to talk about Mussolini and Ivan the Terrible and mm-hmm. all these other dictators and people that are supposed to kill people? You're talking about 3.2 million people? So I answer your question and say this. Have relationships with people, because behind every so-called miracle that you point out, there was a human being behind it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got this new job. There was a human being that hired you. Oh, I was able to get this check. There was a human being who wrote it to you. There was a human being behind every so-called successful actor and entertainer that took part in their success. But when you cut YouTube on, you ask Tyler Perry, he's got a YouTube. People always ask me, how did you make it? How did you make it? Well, I'm going to tell you now, it was nothing but the grace of God. Really? There were human beings behind everything that you did. So look in your heart and see the God and the goddess in other people. If I saw you, your sister, as a God, I would never call her a bitch.
That's right. That's right.
I would never objectify her, sexually objectify her. If I saw you, Brother Oshie, when me and you worked together a couple weeks ago, we had lunch, I saw you as a God. Look at the people that you introduced me to that I didn't know.
Right, Ashe. Yeah.
That I probably would know for the rest of my life now.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my stock into people.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
All right. All right, Brother Theo. Thank you, Brother Theo. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, old shit? And Brother Kamaru, let me just ask you a quick question because I know we're short on time. In all of your studies and understanding of this so-called thing called religion, have you figured out how the Negro has become so hooked on this thing that the slave master gave to him?
Oh, man. You know what, brother? Listen, man, I have, and I've got some hypotheses, man. I can't share them right now. And I'm sorry, I just can't. But let me say this, man. I remember Minister Farrakhan saying this a long time ago, back in the 80s. He said, black people are the most genetically modified people on earth.
So we on remote control.
That is a whole... Let me say this. By now, we should have awakened from this stupor. By now, our sojourn in this country is long enough to have awakened. Because you have other groups. Listen, when you talk about groups that have caught hell, there have been many groups, from the Albanians to the Vietnamese, that have caught hell. It ain't just the black people here in America. Now, we might have had a peculiar institution called slavery, where, you will learn to hate yourself, how you look, your skin color, your hair texture, your size of your lips, and all that kind of stuff. That was very peculiar, which made this what they call the peculiar institution. But why we are still clinging, there's an Asian proverb that says, to insist on a spiritual practice that once served you in the past is to carry the raft on your back after you have crossed the river. Why do we still have this raft on our back after we've crossed the river? There's something dealing with the brain, with the ventrolateral prefrontal cortex, that has to do with decision making, with the perpetual state of boyhood, with the perpetual state of dependency, with the perpetual state of fear, with celebrating something that has you putting on green, knowing that the Irish were your biggest competitors with day laborers on the east side of Manhattan when you were doing day labor jobs. And they couldn't stand you. And you don't have the sense enough not to throw on green. You don't have the sense enough not to go and buy your child new Easter outfit, things that have nothing to do with you. What is wrong with the fact that you're killing each other left and right? And let me tell you something, brother. When you evaluate yourself, I don't care what it is. I know we're getting long time. But whenever you do an evaluation, okay, I don't care whether you're a football team or an individual or a company. The first part of your evaluation has to be from within. And then you work your way out. You don't start with racism first. Racism exists. It's like a pebble in your shoe. It doesn't keep you from walking. It does exist. It's here. And there are many things about racism that are happening to us that we don't even realize it. But what I'm saying is we have the ability to do things properly, to think properly, and we don't do it. Brother, the only thing that I could think of, and like I said, I have some hypotheses. I cannot share them, though. I just can't. But we're talking about the something in the brain. Something's going on. Why we can't get our shit together? Why?
Because
you're still on the side.
Love of Jesus. Because of the love of Jesus and the white man. That's why we can't get our shit on the ice
there you go.
Together.
Why?
Because if don't you think we'd be all right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But listen, well, let me tell you this.
You start.
Mm-hmm. I will say this right here. I don't just like the white man. I mean, I don't have any. You tell me a black person who does not, who says that, you know, just against white people totally, I could show you a black person that hasn't been anywhere. I've been to too many parts in the world to know better. I've met too many white people to know better than that. But why does this love for this Jesus and this love for these Christian, culturalistic type of ways, why do they keep existing? Why? What makes us continue to show this love? This, what do you call it? The syndrome, you know, when you, what is it called? You know, when you love your enemy, you love your oppressor. Stockholm syndrome.
Yep.
The Stockholm syndrome. What is it? Why do we keep doing it? And guess what? Religion is dying all over the world. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It's increasing in Africa. Everywhere in the world, religion is dying. But the numbers are going up in Africa. Something's wrong. And that has to do with your decision-making. What part of your body has to deal with decision-making? It's your brain, man. And let me tell you something, man. I don't know what the hell they did to us, but I do know this, man. We are on a self-spun axis system. And like George, what's the brother's name, wrote the book, he said, if there is no back door, we're going to create a back door.
Right.
Let me tell you, in 2014, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was 2014. Sometimes the giant falls asleep and leaves the back door open. Sometimes the giant falls asleep and leaves the keys hanging up in the door. It's not going to happen. It might happen once every 100 years or twice every 100 years or three times every 100 years. But it happened in 2014. You remember when Donald Sterling, the owner of the
Clippers,
ex-owner of the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
said he didn't want any black people, and whites were appalled, Jews were appalled, blacks were appalled. Yeah, the whole world that were appalled by his statements. He said he didn't want no black people in his game. Right there, the keys was hanging up. That was your opportunity to walk out, to quit playing sports.
Hmm.
Not on a competitive level, but on a business level, to have a moratorium of sports. So you can see, to bring attention to the slave to the master relationship that's prevalent in
that's
all
right.
areas of sports that exist.
Mm-hmm.
Now the hotels. Oh, my goodness, the restaurants. The whole of downtown would have been in trouble if you would stop serving your original purpose, and that's to make money for white folk by way of your physical activity. That would have shut down. But you have people like Doc Rivers that says, oh, we're here for a championship. And then Shaq gets on there and says, oh, the Naismith Trophy. Damn a Naismith Trophy. if we all get out of that and say we'll come back under these conditions, you're not going to get that opportunity now. Because you don't have that element that has that created the empathy for you to act. That element is not here. Something has to go there. Donald Sterling created the element of empathy for you to do that. And there are other times that that happens. We didn't even have sense enough to know that the back door was wide open. And like my man said, if there is no back door, we're going to cut one out.
That's right.
And make a way.
You got another question, Brother Jay?
Nah, basically, you know, I mean, like he said, he can't reveal certain things because it's part of his work. But the bottom line is, you know, we as a people just need to move forward and get out of this Sky Daddy complex and
right.
just deal, right. man. But I've enjoyed the brother's presentation today. Hotep.
Hotep, Jay. Take care, brother. Have a good day, man. Brother Jeremiah, we're at that time,
yes,
man.
Sir.
We're at the top of the hour, man. Our time is up, man.
I know it,
and,
man.
You know, yeah, that saying, the
you remember that
goal.
You remember Carol Burnett?
Yeah.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
That's right.
I want to sing that song to you, brother.
Yep. And then tug on her earlobe. I love it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I'll be talking with you soon, and we'll do this again real soon. In fact, we'll try our best to, you know, give more time. We had a lot of callers. You know, some wanted to get in on the conversation. Some just wanted to listen and just take it in. Because the fact of the matter is, and the bottom line is, that we as African people, we must come to understand that it is about the mind. It is about the mind. And if we're ever going to get up out of this muck and mire that we're in, we must do something to change how we look at ourselves and look at each other and how we embrace certain things that causes us not to be able to do so, you know. So, Brother Jeremiah, I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
All
man,
right.
Always, brother. Appreciate you having me, brother. Thank you, man.
All right, Brother Jeremiah Kamara.
All right, Brother Peach.
Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivihode. Bivihode means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day, family. Hope to see you on Wednesday. No guests. It's a birthday. That's right. Mine's and Brother Dr. Akashimusa Barashango. That's right. Dr. Barashango. We're going to talk about we mentioned it earlier, about these holidays that we shouldn't be celebrating. All right, brothers and sisters. Peace.